Okay, well, we're thinking this morning about being a disciple and discipling others. The notes are there. I'm going to go through some of those points because you'll notice that now and again I have a heading and then just dots. Well, I'm going to fill in the dots, and if you want to write something down, then please do so. Otherwise, just listen, because I want to talk a bit about listening this morning. Now, a disciple is someone who learns from and follows a teacher. Now, are we okay on that one? A disciple is someone who learns from, listens to and learns from, and then follows a teacher. And it involves being with that person, listening to that person, walking with that person, reflecting on what that person says, and so on. So we're going to think this morning about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, and do we then keep that amazing word to ourselves, or do we then go and tell other people? So obviously the second session is about sharing that word. Now, I have put in the booklet something from James. Would you like to have a look at that? James makes a couple of very helpful points about the importance of listening, but also not just listening, doing something about it as well. Let me just have a read with you, and if you'd rather just listen, that's fine. But I'm just going to read those verses that are written down there. I think there's a couple of verses from James 1, probably verse 5 and 6, but the ones I want to look at with you from verse 22. Let me just read this and let's have a think about it. Now, I said that a disciple is somebody who listens to and then follows a teacher. Now, let's look at this about listening. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. But those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay? Do not merely listen to the word but do what it says. Those who listen to the word and don't do anything about it, like somebody who looks in the mirror, looks at themselves and walks away. So the first session I want to think about is listening. Listening to Jesus, listening to God. Because that means being a disciple. But it's not enough. It's not enough just to listen and to learn and to find one's own being imbued with the Spirit of God. It's not enough. James says, don't just listen. Go and do something about what you've heard. I've written a chapter in one of my books on listening and doing. I think it's called Keep Walking, that one. Sometimes I forget what I put in various books. But I think it's in Keep Walking. And I just have said this. We are urged to hear the word of God and then do something about it. We're encouraged to be heavers, workers, as well as hearers. To be doers as well as listeners. To be participants as well as spectators. And you might like to look that chapter up because there's so much more there that I can't say today. But there is a chapter, I think it's chapter 16 in Keep Walking, and it's all about listening and doing. So when we listen, we mustn't just be a hearer. Have you ever watched Hyacinth Bouquet? Yes, Hyacinth Bouquet in Keeping Up Appearances. She's such a great hearer. She is a useless listener. She does not listen to what anybody says. And I remember an episode that I watched when her poor husband, Richard, had just retired and he was so lost. And he hated getting up each day and facing a day that didn't have anything in it at all. And she was, you know, busily going around the house doing this, that and the other and answering the phone, you know. And he walked past her and he said, I don't feel very good. I don't feel right. I don't have anything to do. And she said, oh, that's good, dear. And off she went with her work. Now, that was very typical of that particular woman. Here he was crying out to be listened to. She heard him, but she didn't listen. So we're thinking this morning about what does it mean to listen? Okay, now, let's have a look at the sheet of paper. I've said that a disciple is somebody who listens to and then follows and does something about what one learns. Who is Jesus? He is the one we are listening to. Jesus is the one who has transformed our lives. He is the one to whom we are a disciple. We are a listener. We're listeners as we read his word. We're listeners as we hear a talk. We're listener in church. Listener when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We are listeners. But who to? Who is he? Well, I've jotted down a few things, haven't I? He's our Saviour. The angel spoke to Mary and said, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save. He will save. This Jesus who is our teacher, the one that we're listening to, the one that we're following, the one of whom we are a disciple, is the Lamb of God. That's who he is. Who takes away the sin of the world. By the way, if you wanted to write it down, the word Saviour and Mary and the angel is Luke 1. The Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world is John 1. The Prince of Peace is Isaiah 9:6. He's a wonderful counsellor. He's an almighty God. He's everlasting Father and he's the Prince of Peace. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. John 10. Our teacher is the bread of life. John 6. We'll never go hungry again spiritually if we feast, as it were, on him. He's the living water. John 4. We'll never be thirsty again. He's the good shepherd, as David knows so well from that picture that he saw all those years ago. He's the good shepherd. He loves us. He searches for us. He lays down his life for us. And you find that in John 8. He's the door. In the first book that I wrote, which is Doors Are For Walking Through, I start that book with a little illustration of something that David and I and our little girl at that stage, Kim, experienced when we went to Florence. Some of you have probably been to Florence, and some of you may have stood at the doors of the baptistry next door to the Duomo, the great cathedral. And there's this beautiful, beautiful building called the baptistry, and it has the most incredible door. And it was sculptured by someone called Ghiberti in the 1500s. So it goes back such a long way. And it's a beautiful door. It's all of bronze, and it glistens in the sun so that it looks like gold. And every panel is part of the Old Testament. So you can stand there for some time and you look through it and remember the stories of the Old Testament. It's the most beautiful door. Even Michelangelo, when he saw that door, said, it is sufficient to grace the doors of paradise. So it's a beautiful door. And if you haven't been to Florence yet, go to Florence. Make sure you go to the cathedral, stand in front of the building next to it and look at the doors. Now, we opened the door and we went in. And when we went into this most beautiful room, we saw a lovely mosaic floor. We saw fantastic 15th century paintings all around the walls. We saw the most beautiful ceiling. And down one end of the room was an original Donatello wooden sculpture of Mary and Jesus. But you know what? As we were going in, and again as we were coming out, we saw all these tourist buses with people packed in. They were all coming to look at the doors. The doors are beautiful. They're well worth stopping to look at. And we just watched for a while. And these buses would disgorge their people, and the people would come over and they'd look at the door and they'd touch the door and they'd marvel at the door and they'd say, isn't it a wonderful, wonderful door? And then they'd get back in their buses. and they go away? If they'd only gone in, they would have seen a magnificent ceiling and a magnificent floor, and they would have seen an original Donatello, but they didn't go in. They just stood and marvelled at the door. Now, this teacher of whom we are disciples is the door, like all these other titles as well. He's also the door. He's the way into eternal life. And there are so many people in the world who say, very good teacher, a very good moral person, good storyteller, but they don't enter through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. Through me you will enter eternal life. Through me you will be saved. We've got to walk through the door by faith in Jesus. And so many people just look at the door and they walk away. He's also the light of the world. John 8. And when we follow him, we will never again walk in darkness. So who is he? Who is this teacher of whom we are a disciple? He's all those things. So why should we follow him? Because he calls us, that's why. He calls us to follow him. He says, come follow me. Come on, follow me. Some people do, some people don't. We should follow him because he is Saviour, Lamb of God, Prince of Peace, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He's good shepherd. He's the door. Why shouldn't we follow him? And because his love for us took him to the cross. He knows what suffering is. He knows what you might be going through. He knows pain. I came across a little poem that I've written in one of my books. This one's called One Step at a Time. It just says this about Jesus at the cross. See if I can see it. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow and woe. It's then that I have to remember that it's in the valleys that I grow. If I always stayed on the mountain top and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and I'd be living in vain. I have so very much to learn, and my growth is oh so small. Sometimes I need the mountain tops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I don't always understand why things happen as they do, but I'm sure of this one thing the Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Now today, we're on a mountaintop, as it were. It's a great day. And we're going to be encouraged in God's word, and we're going to be encouraged to follow Jesus, and we're going to sing hymns, and we're going to look at the scriptures. But we're going home to the valleys, you know. We're going back to ordinary everyday life, which is not always very easy. And that poem reminds us not only of the fact that Jesus knows what it's like to be in a valley, knows what it's like to suffer, because it took him to the cross. But it also is a reminder that even through the valleys, even through the difficult times of life, that's when we grow. You see, you won't grow very much today. You will be stimulated, you will be excited by God's word, but you actually grow when you walk out of there. You grow when you face whatever you're facing in your family or your life or your health or whatever. That's when we grow. It's not when we give up. That's when we grow. And so it's a reminder, isn't it? Why should we follow him? Not only because he calls us, not only because of who he is, but because he went through the valleys. He knows what it's like to find life hard. He knows what it's like to suffer. So what difference will it make if we follow him? What difference will it make if we become a disciple? Transformation, that's the difference that it will make. We become a new creature. We become part of the kingdom of God. We become clothed with his righteousness, which is the most amazing concept. What difference will it make? We become a child of God, loved, eternally loved. What difference will it make? Well, we'll be forgiven. forgiven for our sins, what difference will it make? We become an inheritor of the treasure of the kingdom. Well, now, what about those early disciples? How did they follow Jesus? What did they do to be a disciple? Well, they followed him by listening to him, to what he said, by watching. They watched him, where he went, what he did, what he said. They asked him questions. Do you ever ask God questions? One question they asked was, we don't have any food, what do we do? How do we feed all these people? Where do we get the bread? A very simple, ordinary, everyday question. You ever ask God an ordinary, everyday question? It's okay. It's okay. The disciples asked questions. And they also questioned, which is a little different, what they didn't understand. I find it fascinating to look after Jesus had risen and some had seen him, the two had walked with him, and the disciples were in that room together and Jesus had risen. And they said, they were asking each other questions. They were musing on it all. What did it mean? He told us, didn't he, that he had to go to Jerusalem. We told him not to go to Jerusalem, didn't we? But he went. Why did he go? Where is he now? You saw him, did you? You walked with him. Well, tell us, you two. What was it like walking with him? So they asked questions, but they also mused. They thought about, reflected on the teaching and the experiences. And of course, they became disciples by praying and by watching him pray. Does any of your family ever see you pray? It'd be good if they did. It'd be good if those little girls out there saw Catherine pray. It's one thing to teach them to pray and to tell them how to pray, but wow, if they just quietly come across you praying one day, that makes an enormous impression on them. So if that's what the disciples did to become disciples, if that's what the early ones did, how about us? What do we have to do? Well, we have to listen. Listen today. Listen to what's said. Listen to the passages you read. Listen to the hymns we sing. How often have you gone home after having heard a 20 or 25 minute sermon and later in the day somebody says to you, what was the sermon about this morning? And you think, ooh. Now, you know, you heard it, but you may not have listened to it, or it may have been a deadly dull sermon not worth listening to anyway, but you never know. But at the end of the day, you think, look, I don't know, I sat there for 20, 25 minutes and I heard it all. I don't remember. Maybe I didn't actually listen. So listen today. Listen to what is said. It doesn't mean that everything that's going to be said today is brilliant. But the scriptures are brilliant. The scriptures are worth listening to. The words that we sing are worth listening to. We hear all the time. But we don't listen all the time. And James says, don't just hear. Listen. So how do we become a disciple? By listening. Remember little Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For your servant hears. Your servant is listening. By reading his word. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. By reflecting on what we read. Thinking about what we read. It's very easy. If you have a quiet time and you read your Bible in the morning or at some time in the day, it's very easy to get up, close the Bible and go off. It'd be better to take a shorter time and meditate on a few verses than take a whole passage and don't remember a single word that is written. We've got to meditate. We've got to think about. We've got to listen to, not just hear the word of God, whether it's written or whether it's spoken. And we've got to pray. I've put down a few helpful verses there that you might like to think about when you ponder, when you think about and meditate on the word of God. He wakes me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen, like one being taught. That's a disciple. Another helpful verse to think about is, let the peace of God, of Christ, rule in your hearts. Psalm 12, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Ephesians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition make your requests known to God. Psalm 95, oh, that today you might hear his voice. And 1 Peter 2, once we were in darkness and now we're in light. Once we were not a people, now we are God's people. Each one of those would be worth meditating on and thinking about, perhaps today. The Oxford Dictionary defines listening as attentive hearing. Listening is attentive hearing. In one of my books, I tell the story of a little girl who was taken at Christmas time by her mother to buy a doll. And they went into the store that had all these most beautiful dolls already for some mum or grandma or aunt or friend to buy. So the little girl started wandering around and looking for all of these little dolls. And she picked one up that was absolutely beautiful. And she brought it across to her mum and she said, oh, mum, look at this one. What does this one do? And her mum looked at it and said, oh, this one talks. That little girl. She went off and she found another doll. Beautiful, beautiful doll. She brought it back. She said, mummy, what does this one do? And she said, mum said, well, this one walks. Said the little girl. So she went off and to all these very expensive looking, amazing dolls. Her mother was a little bit worried about the price tag on all those dolls. And so when the little girl came back again with another one, the mum said, look at these dolls. They're so pretty, aren't they lovely? They were much cheaper dolls, okay, but still very pretty. And so the mother directed her across to that little doll. And she picked one up and she said, oh, mummy, that's very pretty, but what does this one do? And the mother thought for a minute and she said, this one listens. And the little girl bought the doll. This one listens. God listens. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Do you listen? And some, didn't know when we started. What time are we finishing? 5 minutes? Okay, all right, time for one story? Okay, that's good. Let me just tell you one story. Because sometimes all a person needs to know a little bit about Jesus and to become a disciple is something very, very simple. Now, I tell a story somewhere here about a gypsy woman that I met overseas, and her name is Tula, T-U-U-L-A. She was at a conference. She was singing at a conference that I was speaking at in Frankfurt in Germany. She was absolutely gorgeous, beautifully dressed, long black hair, and she was a gypsy. And I had a long talk to her, and she said to me, you know, people hate gypsies. And I said, well, tell me a bit more. She said, I was brought up in a gypsy caravan, as a little girl. And she said, my parents were gypsies, and our caravan was highly painted and very colourful. And because we couldn't stay very long because people hated us and threw things at us and threw things at the caravan, we never stayed very long. So we kept going from village to village to find another bit of grass in the middle of a village, and we parked there for a few days and we moved on. She said, oh, everybody hated gypsies. But she said, one day something happened. One day there was a knock on the door of our caravan. And she said, there was a young couple there. And the young woman said to me, and I answered the door, she said to me, God loves you. We've come to tell you God loves you. And Tula said, I rushed inside. I left them standing at the door. And I rushed inside and I said, Mummy, come quickly. Somebody loves us. So she said, Mum, came to the door. And we invited them in, and Grandma was there and Grandpa was there. And we were all in the caravan together. And she said, we just all sat down while this young couple just said to us, God loves you, because they've never heard that before. Now, a few years before that, there was a young couple. There's a girl called Herta, H-E-R-T-E. And I met Herta, and I met Tulla at the same conference in Germany. And there was this young woman called Herta who actually lived in Finland, which is where Herta was, where Tulla was. And this young girl was going to the evening service where a lot of young people go in their church at night, evening service, lots of kids. And she said, there was a man there when I was only about 16, she said, and he was speaking about his ministry amongst the gypsies. So she said, I listened, and then the plate went round at the end and the minister said, if you'd like to give to the mission to the gypsies, just put some money in the plate. So she said, I didn't have much, I was just a schoolgirl, but I put in what I had. And she said, the next Sunday night when we came back, the minister said, look, we've decided just one more week, not anymore, but just one more week, the offertory today will go to the mission to the gypsies. And Herta said to me, I didn't have any money, and I'd love to have put something in, but I couldn't. So she said, in front of the seat where we're sitting, there was a little bit of paper where people are supposed to write their name and address if they came to church. And she said, I tore it up into the shape of a heart. And I just wrote on it, Herta's heart for the gypsies. And I put it in the plate. And she said, I was about 16. Many, many years later, a young couple knock on a gypsy girl's caravan door and say, God loves you. And it was Herta. And it was her young husband. Because they had both gone into a ministry for gypsies. What does God do? God is doing amazing miracles all around the place with people who don't necessarily feel they can stand up and speak. But they can tell someone God loves them. And it might be the only thing they needed to hear that day. And little Tulla not only heard it, but listened and went inside and said, somebody loves us, Mummy. And now, today, Tulla is a singer all over Europe. Beautiful gypsy singer to Jesus. And a young couple who wrote on a little bit of paper because they didn't have any money, my heart for the gypsies. So if we're going to be disciples, that's what we're going to be. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn a little bit more when we read his word, when we hear him, when we come today. We're going to learn a little bit more. But don't think that you can keep it to yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next session. We can share it. We can pass it on. Even if we say to somebody, God loves you. God loves you. And who knows whether that person will become a disciple. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are our great teacher. And we come before you humbly to ask for your guidance and your wisdom and your love and your protection, because we want to hear and listen to what you have to say. But Lord, all around us there are so many people who don't know who you are. We know you're the Lamb of God. We know you're the Prince of Peace. We know you're the bread of life. We know. But Lord, we want to know it deeper. So make us disciples who listen to your word and then find ways of sharing it with others. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.